Good morning. It's a blessing to be here this morning. And do thank you for that beautiful singing. It's a joy. I always enjoy doing the singing to the Lord. This morning, for a text, if we could read out of Colossians chapter 3. Begin reading at break in at verse number 12. I wasn't sure where to start, but that looked like a good spot. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Through the end of the chapter. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. We want to serve you and worship you. Lord, we thank thee that we could gather in thy name this morning. And I pray that thy spirit be here. Lord, you know I am weak and needy, and in much need of your presence, Lord. And we just ask that thy word can go forth, and thou would bless it, and glorify it to thy name, thy kingdom can be furthered. Lord, I just want to thank thee and praise you for you being you, that thou hast loved us and has a desire to draw us near to thee whenever we draw near to thee ourselves. Lord, I just want to thank thee in all things and pray your will can be done. In Jesus' name, amen. There's two verses in this passage that I read that I would like to look at a little bit this morning. And the first one is verse 17. It says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." And also similar to that in verse 23, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men." There's a theory or a rule that was penned in the late 1800s by an Italian economist named, I think it's pronounced Pareto. It's titled the 80-20 rule. I'm sure many of you, if you haven't heard of it, you've probably experienced it or practiced it, some of yourself. This individual, and my focus is not to focus on this rule, but just to, I want to apply it a little bit if I could. But this Pareto, he found out one day as he was in his garden. I don't know if he was harvesting his garden or what, but he noticed that his peas, that 20% of the plants were producing 80% of the peas. And he thought that was just quite interesting. And so, being an economist, he looked to the environment around him, and he noticed that of the land, the landowners was approximately 20% of the people, and they owned about 80% of the land. It was not only 20%, but 20% of them owned 80% of the land. And that was in Italy, but also, so he looked in the countries around him also, and that was the same in the surrounding countries too. The earnings, 20% of the people made 80% of the money, and therefore 20% of the people controlled 80% of the money. It's possibly the same ones that own the land too, I don't know. Getting a little closer to home for us as far as employment and so forth, there's approximately of the work, and this, I don't know if it's necessarily so much in our communities or just in general, probably more so in general, the work that's being done in a business, what they're saying is 20% of the work is, or 80% of the work is done by about 20% of the employees. Maybe that's to make the bottom line. I'm not sure what it is, but that's pretty drastic, I would think. But also, though, of customers in a business, about 80% of the income comes from 20% of the customers, typically. They've applied this here and this rule in the lean manufacturing and so forth, Six Sigma and all that there. More of up to date as far as computer programming, they say that of a computer program, people that write programs, that it takes about 20% of the time to get the program to work 80% efficiency, and it takes the remainder 80% to make it work flawlessly, if you don't want to say. Or the bugs, to debug something, you can debug about 80% of it and 20% of the time. And so it's most people don't find it necessary or useful to continue past the 20% unless they want a cutting edge on the market, get above the competitor and so forth. And I thought that was just an interesting concept. So as I said, it's not my focus to focus on the direct 80-20 rule today, but I'm wondering how it applies to us and our spiritual birth, life, and growth in Jesus Christ. I can't point to anything in the scripture to say that these numbers will line up, but it made me wonder and ponder, do we, whenever we first come to Jesus, surrender our life and want to serve Him, does it take about 20% effort for 80% of the work to be done initially at salvation? God so desires us to surrender to Him and change our lives and transform us that that His power is mightily done, and the world can see a great transformation in our life. And then after that happens, God asks us to discard so many things in life that are still maybe bogging us down. And so He asked us to do our part, where I'm thinking it maybe takes 80% more work than what it did initially at salvation. You know, as we said many times, salvation is free and it's simple, but it's not easy. It's a lot of work to come to the end of our salvation, which God wants us to do. Like I said, I don't necessarily have any direct scripture to say the numbers here, but it definitely, you can see it throughout the Bible, the underlying theme that Yes, that God wants us to just continue to surrender our life and the things that those world. We think as I, knowing what I was going to possibly be speaking on this morning, hearing the song this morning, how much of them said, you know, I say no to the world. I put the world behind me, and from now on, it's serving Jesus. Is that what our desire is? Is to continually to die to the world and what it has to offer, to go beyond. I'm going to say go beyond the 80%. Are we willing to put 110, 120% into this life of salvation for Jesus, to serve Him, for His kingdom, to see it grow, that so we can say as the Hebrew writer that let's go on to perfection in Hebrews 6. That we do not just stay and wallow around in the things of this earth. As some of you may know, whenever I tend to work, I have a struggle stopping at the 20%. I like to see things a little bit more complete, if you want to say. Don't necessarily go the 100%, but I do like to go beyond the 20%. It can get me in trouble sometimes, putting a little bit too much time into something that's not worth it, not necessary. But that's in these worldly things. And I'm wondering why I don't do that in salvation too, with Christ. Why I can so easily stop at the 20, 30, 40%, and why I do not continue on. This world can have such a grasp on me, and that I so much appreciated the message here a couple of weeks ago that the brother Alan gave. You know, and what things are distracting me? What things are still holding me back? That I'm where am I at my growth? Am I willing to put that all aside and just focus on Christ? There have been people that have said, but look how far I've come. You know, this is where I was 10, 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, and this is where I'm at today. Maybe it's just 2 weeks ago. Look where I was at 2 weeks ago and where I am at today. And yes, Christ brought us a long way. But are we satisfied with how far Christ has brought us? You know, let's say a man's drowning. He's out in the deep somewhere, and a boat came and picked him up, and they took him maybe 80% of the way to shore and said, "Okay, I took you 80%. Now you can go the rest of the way." You know, is that what Christ wants for us? He's going to take us. He's going to do His part. Are we willing to do our part? Are we satisfied just getting 80% of the way to shore and stopping? Do we want to be saved all the way? It can be a sobering thought. You know, that's not. Do I see how far Christ brought me and say that I've come a long, long way? Hallelujah for that. Hallelujah that He has brought us a long way. But am I willing to do what it takes to suffer? You know, in the Scripture it says many places about suffering for the Lord, whether in persecution or what. Romans 8:17. Says, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified with Him. Are we suffering in His cross, in His tribulation? He bore the cross upon earth, a physical cross and also a spiritual cross, and He wants us to bear the cross with Him too, the suffer in this world, not. He doesn't desire for us to suffer, but we will. We will suffer as we bear our cross for Christ and grow in Him. 2 Corinthians 1:15 says, "And in this confidence I was minded to come unto you before." No, 1:5, that's what it is. "For as the suffering of Christ abounded in us, So our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. You know, going back a little bit, as the Hebrew writer said, let's go on to perfection. I'm not going to say that we're going to be able to get it to 100% here upon this earth. Philippians says that quite plainly. You know, that we have not attained yet, and we won't until we've arrived in glory. But we can strive towards that perfection. It can be our desire that we can get there. So I don't have a lot necessarily this morning. I do want to mention that, you know, as was mentioned here before, it's worth repeating though. Those things which cost us little is worth little. They have little value. But whenever they cost us a lot, then there is some value to it, and it is worth living for. So let's not be satisfied to just be how far we have come, but let's go on to perfection. And let's do it. Let's do it heartily as to the Lord. Let's not do it for our glory, not do it for the anything else, but for the glory of Christ, so that His kingdom can be furthered and His name can be glorified. May the Lord be blessed.